It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. People with criminal backgrounds face a variety of challenges as they attempt to reintegrate into the workforce in southwestern Pennsylvania. So what can society do better to help them? That's one of the questions being asked at the 2015 Life Without Bars Conference being held tomorrow and Friday in Homestead. I'm joined now in studio by Samson Meraghi of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Reentry Coalition. Samson Meraghi, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
And also with us is Workforce Development Job Developer Alethea Bush. Good to have you here, Alethea.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You can join the conversation with a comment or a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, we'd especially like to hear from you if you have a criminal record. How is your job search going? What would make it easier? 412-246-2002. And bear in mind that I'm guessing the answer for many is expungement. We'll be talking about that in our next segment. But let's start off by talking about Life Without Bars, the Life Without Bars Conference. Can you tell me how long it's been going on, what it looks like, who attends, and why you choose to have it in Homestead?
Sure. Spark held its first reentry conference in 2009, which was the first of what became an annual event geared toward the general population, primarily individuals that have barriers such as a criminal background. Then in 2011, we held our first conference geared specifically toward reentry professionals and service providers, which was the first of what became a biennial event taking place every other year. And usually these conferences are used as a forum to provide professionals, as well as those individuals with barriers to self-sufficiency, with resources, information, learning opportunities, and education. As the new Spark coordinator, I decided to try something different this year to combine both of those conferences into one two-day event. As far as the location, we've had our conferences downtown before, as well as at the University of Pittsburgh in the past. AIU, where it's going to be held this year, was the site of our conference in 2013, and it was a great venue, and they've been so gracious to provide that facility to us again this year. So there's no real specific reason as to why we've chosen that venue, but it is on the bus line and it is minutes away from our offices on East 8th Avenue, so it's pretty convenient.
And is it just professionals that attend workshops to help inmates and individuals, or do those people attend the conference as well? Do the inmates and individuals show up as well?
Yes. Day one is geared specifically for reentry professionals, and day two of the conference is geared more toward those returning citizens and those that do have those barriers.
So what are the biggest obstacles, Samson, maybe you can address this. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest obstacles facing people as they get out of jail and they're trying to reintegrate into society? What have you seen in terms of the things that keep showing up, and how do you address them?
I would say like some of the things that we've seen, like barriers, will be like employment, definitely, but life skills. There's family support, housing, and transportation, because some of the jobs that are available, especially that could be like entry level or jobs that people have skills for, are located in places where there's no public transport. So that becomes a huge problem. There's limited education, and in a way, we're going to discuss a little bit more of how our program helps people to work with their skills, or even to make better their skills so that they can be employed in the region. I would like to say also to add, like, that the program, like, we have a development specialist who work with people and one-on-one to assess their specific barriers. So we don't deal with them like one cap fits all. We work with each person and try to help them. We can send them
referrals. Right, because
you're
talking about people with very different backgrounds,
yes,
different education. They may have,
yes,
job skills, or they may be, you know, workers who need some kind of training before they go out there. Otherwise, they're just going to end up taking some entry-level job, which is fine because a job is better than no job. But those jobs do pay, in most cases, significantly less than somebody who's got some skills. They can maybe join a labor union and apply their trade with those benefits.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely discuss a little bit further that because what we do here is we work with somebody and try and see what skills they have. And if they have like skills.
How do you do that? What sort of assessment? How does that work?
Well, we do have like two assessments that we use. One will be the Holland Code assessment, which is tries to help somebody try to identify their personality traits, and with this you're able to figure out people with similar type of traits where they've been able to excel in. So in that way we can come up with type of professions that you might be interested in. So, and that works with people who definitely, due to their background, they might be restricted to going back to an industry that they were working in before. So we can use that to help them transfer the skills that they gain from one industry to excel in another industry.
Do you find that a lot of ex-cons who are getting back on the street are eager to get back into the workforce, that they want to work, that they have been reformed, if that needed to be done, and are wanting and desiring to be productive citizens?
Absolutely. That's one thing that they have when they come out, because like our majority of the people that we work with, they have realized what they did and they have owned up to it and they have paid their time and now they're ready to move on. So in this way, we try to help them, to guide them, taking them. If it's somebody who needs skills, we do provide them with referrals to some training programs which are free, or they could be low cost in the region, and they provide you skills which are in demand in the region. Because one thing is to make sure somebody is being trained for something that it's employable in the region. The last thing we want is to create another barrier when somebody gets this training.
Are we finding, and Alethea, maybe you can answer this, are we finding that inmates, after they come out, that they have, chances are they didn't get a great education before they went into prison in a lot of these cases. So are they being educated while they're in prison? Are they getting job training while they're in prison?
Well, we are finding more and more institutions are providing some, marketable training that they can use for employment upon their return to society. That is growing within like the institutions, both federal and state.
We're seeing more of that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's people who are coming home with welding certificates or, there's several programs that are being introduced into the prisons that, that give them marketable skills for when they come out. The real challenge is trying to get that employer engagement, because a lot of employers, they may feel like this candidate may be qualified, but due to their background, from a corporate standpoint, they're not permitted legally or whatever the restrictions are to hire that person. So that's the challenge that we're faced with, is trying to get employers to reexamine, their policies as it relates to hiring.
Why would a company not be permitted? We're talking about a company policy here that prevents a person with a record from being hired?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's various reasons. I mean, some are based on their funding streams. For example, if there's a construction job and it's federally funded, that contractor is restricted from hiring someone with a criminal background just for the simple fact of where their funding stream comes from. So that would be a question as to, federal policy.
So if the federal government is providing providing the funding for a project, there may be a stipulation that if somebody has a record, they cannot be hired
for
that job?
Correct.
And what kind of an obstacle is, how do you assess that particular obstacle? Is that a barrier that we in society should look harder at removing?
Absolutely. It's a significant barrier because, the work is there, and then you have this population of people who are willing to do the work, who are trained to do the work, but it's this barrier. And I think it has to do with advocacy. It has to do with really educating employers and, you know, those people who make these decisions on, you know, the incentives for hiring some of these individuals and looking at, you know, their progress. Like, yes, there's people who have made their mistakes, you know, decades ago and are still having doors closed in their faces because of that. You know, they've proven themselves, they've have references, they have education, they have training, they have experience, but because they have this mark on their record, it precludes them from so many opportunities that they are, you know, they are competent to do, you know? So, I mean, it's definitely a major challenge in helping this population.
Samson, would you say that there's a stigma attached to someone who's getting out of prison, who has a record? They may have totally reformed, and as Alethea pointed out, they may have committed a crime that was decades ago. Something that I don't know if youthful indiscretion is the right word to use, but, you know, we all did things that, you know, when we were teenagers that we're probably not proud of today. Because we're different people today. So is there a problem in our society with businesses and institutions that are out there not reassessing the individuals and looking at the fact that it's been 20 years, this person likely may have changed, and we should give them a chance?
Absolutely, absolutely. There is a stigma out there, and the way that we help our clients to go around it is to work with them, to help them present themselves in the best light. So let's say if somebody got training, we have to emphasize that on their resume, talking more about the skills that they do come in with. If somebody, you know, they've owned up, they've served their time, also be able to talk that out in confidence and telling the employer, yes, I did that, but then this is who I am from since then, this is what I've been able to achieve. So again, it's more talking more on the positive things that they've been able to acquire since then. And then probably with this type of preparation, maybe the employer will be willing to give them a chance and be able not to overlook, but at least to give them a chance to show what they can be able to do with the skills that they do have.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the challenges people with criminal backgrounds face as they attempt to reintegrate into the workforce, and a conference, the 2015 Life Without Bars Conference, being held tomorrow and Friday to address the needs and what society can do to better help those who are getting out of prison and who are trying to reintegrate into society and the workforce. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. And if you are a person with a criminal record and you are in the process of trying to put your life back together, find work, we would like to hear your story. How are things going for you? What are the things that you need that you think that society should provide help with? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. How well are agencies in southwestern Pennsylvania coordinating their efforts in terms of providing job counseling and housing and those kinds of things? And again, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Samson Meragi, who is with the Southwestern Pennsylvania Reentry Coalition. Also with us is Alethea Bush, who's a workforce development job developer. So, again, the question I'm putting to you two is, how well are the agencies in Southwestern Pennsylvania coordinating their efforts when it comes to providing job counseling, housing, and the things that these folks need?
Well, I can say, I mean, as with most things, there's always room for improvement. But I can say since its inception in 2005, Spark has grown. The Southwestern PA Reentry Coalition has grown to consist of 25 member agencies and organizations. And we meet monthly. And during these meetings, that's a forum to where we encourage each other to share information and resources amongst each other. And, you know, were being kept abreast of one another's organizational events, changes, and things that are going on. And it's pretty wide. I mean, we have federal agencies, state agencies, nonprofit organizations, faith-based agencies. A lot of, you know, we have a wide, diverse range of member organizations that are on Spark. So, I mean, I feel like we're pretty connected, but I'm sure there are other agencies out there that offer other services that I'm sure we can, you know, learn about and possibly, you know, share those resources amongst the coalition.
And what are some of the difficulties for individuals that are particular to Southwestern Pennsylvania, if there are any? Are there things that exist here, maybe barriers that exist here that don't exist elsewhere, or things that you see in other places that you look at and remark to yourself, boy, that would really be great if we had that here?
Yes, I know two things in particular. I mean, well, first of all, Allegheny County has been a really ideal reentry, like they have reentry practices that are trying to be modeled in other counties. So, you know, Allegheny County is doing pretty well on the reentry front. However, there are some initiatives that I would like to see happen here in Allegheny County. One that has to do with the expungement process in Beaver County, and we're actually going to have this presented at our conference. But in Beaver County, they have an initiative to where if you're a part of their reentry program, for lack of a better word, automatic expungement. If the reentrants have a charge that's on their record that is expungible, that process can start automatically with, I believe, for free or very minimal cost. And we do have that initiative here as far as expungements, but it's not on a wide scale level. Like, it's not on a county level. It's, you know, there's just some nonprofits that do that, you know, Neighborhood Legal Services, they help with that. The Formerly Convicted Citizens Project, they help with that. But in Beaver County, it's the clerk of courts is involved, so it's on a larger scale. That's something in particular that I think would really be helpful to our population here in Allegheny County.
412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's go to James in Monroeville. James, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, you are on the air, sir.
Excellent. So this is just an issue I deal with a lot and in the work that I do. And also just I can speak on personally. And I think that what we don't realize maybe as a society is just like how easy it is for anyone. Like, I mean, you don't have to be a career criminal that has, you know, just a long prison sentence in your history to be barred from so many opportunities. It takes one arrest when you're in your teens or in your 20s. And, yeah, I mean, you may still be able to get a lot of jobs, but if you want to, say, go into teaching, and I'll just speak for myself, where you did a lot of partying when you were a teen and got a DUI, well, that's out of the question. I mean, so I had to do this whole career change.
So James, you've experienced this personally.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's easy for us to think that this is a problem of some other community, you know, than maybe the one we're in. And it's just not. So I think today with more and more aggressive policing, and, you know, just arrests that don't even end up in convictions. If you have an arrest, it doesn't even matter if you've been convicted. If you're arrested, then that shuts you out of so many opportunities. And
well, you are. Let me jump in because you are certainly bringing up something, and I appreciate what you're telling us. And this is an issue that really speaks to the whole. Your comments and your question speak to the whole expungement issue, which we're going to get more into specifically in our next segment. So I would encourage you, James, to stay with us and to listen to what our guest in the next segment, Holly Harris, has to say about this. But I'm going to let you go and kind of move on with Samson and Alethea here to talk about the Life Without Bars conference and what's being done for individuals to help them get back on a career path when they get out of prison. And again, James, thank you for the call. Samson, I see that you help individuals look at career paths that may be best for them. And you spoke earlier about as individuals reenter society, trying to, you know, you go through a process where you try to ascertain their what career interests they might have. How does that process work exactly? How do you extract this information from them?
We do work with clients who come in, who just came out from jail, or it could be somebody who has a criminal background. And what we do as our program itself in Mon Valley, our workforce program, is focused. It's what you call a financial opportunity center. So what we do, we have intentionally combined three major areas. Like we've combined employment, we've combined with our financial coaching, and also with access to public benefits. So we've realized when somebody comes in, we provide them, if we cannot provide that information or those services in-house, we are able to refer them to places that they can be.
I'm guessing when some of these people come in, they like many people, regardless of whether they have a criminal record or not, you know, young people in particular, people that are in college or about to graduate, that they'll say, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing some of that goes on.
Yes.
Someone might have a talent that they haven't tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
They may have an interest that they don't even realize that they have. So how do you help them light that light bulb and say, okay, yeah, I could do this for the rest of my life and be happy?
Okay. Yeah, we do use a model when it comes to employment called Know Yourself, Know the Market, and then Make the Match. So Know Yourself, this is where we sit with the client and assess, you know, talk to them about, like, what's their work experience or, like, what areas have they enjoyed. If they are very young, they've never had any work experience, like, what did they enjoy doing at school in volunteer time and things like that.
They probably haven't thought about it in years, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So one thing that we do provide them is a wide range of information when it comes to employment. When it comes to employment, it could be in terms of industries. Are you interested in this? And provide them information with, like, would you be interested in doing some volunteer work? And to figure out, is this something that you'll be interested in? If you're in school, maybe it could be an internship. Try internship in different areas. We can narrow down your interest areas and then come up with a plan and say, how about this semester do a little bit of an internship in this field and another one in this field? And then with that, we keep on working with you to figure out what could suit you when it comes to employment.
Really sound like good things. Let's take one last call in this segment from Ashley in Wilkinsburg. Ashley, thank you for waiting. And you're on with Samson Meraghi and Alethea Bush.
Hi there.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm a service coordinator here in Pittsburgh, which means that I deal with mental health needs. I work for a program that helps to house folks who have been homeless and have mental illness in their background. And so a lot of my clients actually have criminal records to contend with. And one of the things that we deal with is that they don't always realize that they have rights. You know, they feel they've been told for so long, you know, that they are X, Y, and Z negative things, that they can't do this and that. And so just as an example, very often people don't know that in HUD-funded programs for housing, you actually are allowed to appeal any decision that comes against you. So, for instance, someone turns you down, you can go back and appeal that decision. And, we know that things like housing are the basis of getting a job. It's very hard to get a job if you don't have stability in other areas of your life. So I'm wondering what kind of systems and initiatives you guys have to get out that kind of information, to really reach people with information about their rights, about what they can and can't do? Or do you have any people who specifically just work in advocacy to step alongside people and help them in those processes?
Well, I can say, for one, the last Thursday of every month, we have an attorney come in to talk about issues about your rights and like how employers can use information, or how they should legally, how they should use the information that they find on someone's background to explain, you know, your rights and the fact that you can appeal certain decisions and things like that. So that's one thing that we do. And we do that the last Thursday of every month. As far as the advocacy, that is something that that Spark is going to, you know, try to become more involved in as time goes on, to, you know, have these advocacy initiatives to try to, you know, better educate people and try to really talk to the people who really are making the decisions, you know, really getting people at the table to have these in-depth discussions that not only are talking about the issues, but actually formulating some, at least start to formulate some sort of strategy to deal with this issue. So those are two things, right, you know, that I could, you know, I could say that we would, you know, that we're trying to address that issue in.
Well, Ashley, we appreciate that call, and I wish we had more time, but we need to wrap up this segment. But I want to thank both of our guests for making it very interesting and informative. Samson Meraghi, who is with the Pennsylvania, Southwestern Pennsylvania Reentry Coalition, and also Alethea Bush, who is Workforce Development Job Developer. You've both provided a wealth of information and insight, and we appreciate your being on with us here on Essential Pittsburgh today.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll hear about a plan to change Pennsylvania's expungement laws to give ex-offenders a better opportunity at a second chance. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.